God is the ultimate judge. And so, obviously, the truth that we sang just now is true. He knows the heart. And what we're going to be looking at this morning as we continue in the Sermon on the Mount also ties in with another song we sang this morning, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. And these issues that Jesus is addressing in his sermon are now issues of a gauge in how much God's grace has affected our lives, how much we're living in that grace, and how that grace is then showing forth in our lives, how strongly we're allowing God's grace to allow us to be gracious in all that we do. And certainly on this topic today about judging others, we need grace for that. And Jesus gives it full and freely. And so, this morning we're back. We're in chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And at this point, again, in our series, we're kind of skipping back and forth. Tonight we're going to be talking about where our treasure is, back in chapter 6, and choosing whom we're going to serve. This morning, Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. And the question is, is it right to judge others? This is one of those questions that in ministry, sooner or later, as you're serving or ministering or leading in ministry, you're going to be hit with this question about judgment. Who are you to judge me? You're being too judgmental. And there is an aspect to that that may be correct, but there's also a lot of misunderstanding in this case. Christians overall, if we were to take a poll, and I haven't done this scientifically, but if you would ask them about judging other people, they would say, well, of course that's wrong. The Bible says we shouldn't judge others. And it's always wrong. Maybe some might say, well, except in situations where it's very obvious that everybody in the room would agree that evil has occurred. So, what is it? Is it something that we take lightly and have a critical spirit? Well, I think we know that's not the case. But why are we ever allowed to judge other people? What is Jesus saying as we go through this? Would it ever be right to judge someone else? What does it mean to judge another person? Hopefully we'll have all the answers to that as we study this out. Let's read the passage together and have a word of prayer. Chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Father, give us understanding today. This is such an issue that many Christians think of as cut and dry, and it doesn't get applied as you expect it to be applied. Help us, Father, when it comes to this issue of evaluating, discerning others and their conduct, help us to be bold in our desire to want to help, but to not be hypocritical and to be gracious in all that we do, remembering that your grace keeps us from sin and helps us in our sin. And we need to be gracious to others and remind them of the grace that is available to them when they're struggling with sin. So, Lord, help us to go from here a better understanding and ready to carry out what you want us to do in this area of judging others. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Judging others. Controversial. People on both sides of the issue wondering what Jesus' expectations are here. And what we're going to do, first of all, is we're actually going to jump ahead and we're going to look at verse 6 in this passage, and then we're going to go back. Because I think it's important to answer the question, first of all, well, does Jesus expect us to judge people at all? Or is he saying in the first part of this passage, don't ever judge anyone? Now, that might be very convenient for us to just, whenever somebody brings something up in our lives that might need change or something that they've seen they're concerned about, to just point out, well, you're not allowed to judge me and be done with it. Well, that might be convenient and it might be less awkward. But is that really Jesus' expectation for us? What is his expectation? Jesus is not saying, let's be clear in this passage, that we never judge. But in that judgment, which even the word judge sounds critical and harsh. And so let's put it this way. What is this judgment? It is an evaluation of other people's lives and discernment into what's going on in their lives that Jesus calls us to. And we have examples of this all throughout Scripture. In fact, immediately after this admonition to not judge, we have verse 6, and let's read this together again and see what he's saying. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend or attack you. Jesus does command us to evaluate other people's lives. And we see that in this verse as well. Now, what is he referring to with these descriptions of dogs and swine and casting pearls? What is this all about? Well, dogs. Well, first of all, what is holy and pearls? Let's address that. What is Jesus referring to? Well, it's so general in description and natural that it may be hard to kind of be able to pinpoint what Jesus is talking about. But as Jesus is giving this instruction, he is giving them God's word, God's expectations, and ultimately then he's saying, this wisdom that I'm giving you, be careful how you distribute it. Be careful how you teach it. It seems from the context here that what Jesus is referring to when it comes to that which is holy and pearls is biblical insight, a message of great value. And I think even more specifically, he's really referring to the gospel here. Pearls at this time, and we know this today too, because I expect most women, certainly diamonds are the case, but you would enjoy having pearls. One of the things that I did for when my wife and I got married is we found somebody who was a very expensive distributor in pearls. It was very good quality for a good price. And we looked at those, and one of the gifts I gave her before we were married was a nice string of pearls, and she still values that to this day. Now, some of you may be more diamond people, jewels, I don't know. But back in Jesus' time, pearls were considered even more valuable than diamonds, if they even had diamonds back then, which were a rarity. Pearls were the grandest luxury, and they had more access to them, but they were still very valuable. And so Jesus is saying that whatever he's talking about is an extremely valuable treasure. And so along with that, then, it seems what he's saying here is biblical insight, the insight that he's giving them, and most importantly, the gospel. Be careful how you distribute it. And doesn't that then require some judging? Doesn't that require some discernment? As you're looking out at other people and trying to evaluate Jesus' command here, we have to evaluate and give judgment. We must evaluate that treasure, this biblical insight, the gospel, in its distribution to others. It does require us to have judgment in a positive sense, in a gracious sense, towards others. Well, what are we supposed to discern and judge here? And why these dogs and this picture of swine? I think you know that's pigs. Why not? What is this picture of giving holy unto the dogs? Well, dogs in New Testament times, again, they were not pets. Such a difference from the way that we think of things today. But dogs were all scavengers. They were more like coyotes or jackals. They were things to be feared. When a pack of dogs came on the scene in Bible times, it usually meant judgment. And they weren't, it wasn't a positive thing. They were those that had no appreciation for the finer things in life. They were just trying to survive and scavengers. And Jesus is saying, those you want to be careful who you give precious things to. Well, who would he describe in this way, referred to as dogs and pigs? That's a really negative description. Who would he be talking about? Well, we know, unfortunately for us Gentiles, that many times the Jews, especially at this time, would refer to Gentiles as dogs. That they weren't as special and they didn't have the relationship that the nation of Israel did with their God, and they looked down upon them. I think we know from Jesus' character and testimony that he's not referring to Gentiles or most of us here in this room as dogs or pigs. Jesus only one time seemingly mentioned to a woman about being or not giving valuable things to the dogs, and he was referring to the Jewish outlook upon the Gentiles. Jesus wasn't actually calling that woman dog, and in the end, he marveled at her faith, and he marveled at the faith of many Gentiles, the centurion who wanted his servant healed. So Jesus can't be referring to Gentiles here, but what he is referring to in context, then, are those that viciously scorn his truth, or the gospel. Those are the dogs. Or pearls before swine, not the nice pink, beautiful, I don't know if pigs are beautiful or not, but the domesticated pigs on a farm that you think of, but these would be more like wild boars. Not to get into too much entertainment and movies and things like that, but if you've ever seen the movie Old Yeller and how the boy falls in from the branch into that horrible crowd of wild boars there and the danger there, that's more really a good picture of what Jesus is referring to here and the danger that's involved in even being near those animals. And so Jesus says, these, be careful, be discerning, judge who you give insight and the gospel to. Well, now does that have any other trouble for us? This is kind of a hard verse to work through in daily life. What does Jesus mean in practicalities? Because we are called to give the gospel to all kinds of people. And we don't want to discern and say, well, I think that person deserves to hear the gospel, but I don't think that one does. God wants us to give his insight and the gospel to all people. Although understand that if you're trying to give someone biblical insight that doesn't know Jesus, they need Jesus Christ first as their Lord and Savior. They need the Holy Spirit to be able to discern God's word. So if you're trying to describe or study with an unbeliever the deeper truths of God's word, they're really not going to understand. It might be time to back off and just relay the gospel to them. And just tell them about Jesus. Until someone has Jesus as their Savior, they won't be able to understand God's word through the power of the Holy Spirit, helping them to understand. So what is Jesus referring to here? I think he's referring to a type of individual who has obviously hardened themselves against the gospel. They scorn the gospel and they oppress the saints that are trying to give the gospel to others. And Jesus is saying, you discern, you may be spending time trying to give the gospel or insights to someone who has hardened themselves, and you need to move on. Well, how do we figure that out? Well, we have to pray about each situation. Certainly, if you've met someone for the first time and you sense a sensitivity towards spiritual things. We want to share the gospel. Even someone that's hardened, no matter who you run into, you want to share the gospel and give them the truths. But if you constantly continue to work with them and you know they hate God and those that follow God and they've spurned the gospel, then the practicality of this might mean it might be time to move on and talk with others about that. All of that involves discernment and judging and praying, asking the Lord how He would have you apply this. So are we getting the idea in the midst of this, though, that Jesus then is not saying across the board, don't judge? Because He wouldn't in verse 6 then call us to judge or to discern. There are other aspects of Scripture. We're going to be looking at this in a couple weeks. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. You can just listen to this, where Jesus is obviously calling for believers to discern and judge. He says, beware of false prophets. And He talks about them that are in sheep's clothing, that are actually wolves. And discerning, using this word discern, about what their fruit is like. Jesus calls us to be discerning and judge and make sure where other people, or try our best to understand where other people are, and look out for those that are trying to lead people astray from the gospel. Jesus commands us to do that. And we're going to be looking at that passage in a couple weeks. But the idea here, again, it's not a prohibition about judging across the board. Another verse of Scripture, I could use many here. Titus 2:15. Paul says to Titus, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Exhort and rebuke. How can you exhort someone or rebuke them if you're not discerning what's going on in their lives? If you're one that goes around and rebukes people without even knowing what's going around in their lives, then you really have violated Jesus' command that we're going to be looking at in just a minute. But Paul says you can't abandon that. As a leader, Titus, you must correct and redirect those that you're leading. And that requires discernment, right? And judgment. So, with that in mind, we understand, I hope, that Jesus is not referring here to judgment across the board. One other thing in regards to this, he's not referring to court trials or that sort of thing. Jesus isn't being negative towards that. That has its place in our society and in the judgment of evil. We need those things. I think we understand in that Jesus is not referring to those things or a correct evaluation of right and wrong. He expects us to do that. So with all that in mind then, what is Jesus talking about? Well, let's go back to verse 1. And we're going to see here that in reality, Jesus has commanded us to evaluate others' lives. We need to do that. But we're not supposed to condemn others. That's the job of the ultimate judge. Let's go back to verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge or pronounce judgment, for with what judgment ye pronounce, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye use, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus is pointing out that even as we're supposed to be discerning about other people, none of us are the ultimate judge. There's only one judge, and it's not us. And so we have to be very careful as we're evaluating other people that we're not condemning them, that we're not trying to find fault with them just because we don't like them. This has the idea of a judgment. Jesus is condemning here. Let me be clear. Is a critical fault-finding mentality that even includes what we're thinking. Looking around at other people, and if we're honest, maybe it's just sometimes because we don't like their personality and we don't mesh with them very well, or we're suspicious because of something we think that they've done. We have really no evidence for that, but now we're suspicious and now we're constantly being critical and fault-finding and watching them and being suspicious of them all the time, even to the point where our thoughts are constantly suspicious of them. Jesus says that shouldn't be. A kingdom citizen should not be involved in that kind of judgment. Well, what's wrong with that, Pastor Brock? Because that kind of judging lacks any love or humility. That kind of judging where we're critical about others, when we don't have all the facts, or we look at something in their past and say, well, they just have to be doing that now. We don't take God's grace and His work in their lives into account at all. Or the fact that we don't like someone, so there must be something suspicious or evil about them. There's none of God's love in that. There's no humility in that. You have to be so careful when you're discerning what's going wrong with other people's lives. We really ought to look at ourselves as spiritual surgeons. That we need to know the facts before we go in and try to help other people. And we also need to know that we have the qualifications and that we know what we're doing with the situation before we get involved in it. And remember, most importantly, again, we're not the ultimate judge. God is the ultimate judge. And we shouldn't be acting like we are. If we're not careful, and I've seen this attitude with some, and it's ugly, and it's not right, but that is, they almost act like they are the final judge and the final, they have secret knowledge about what a person is, almost like they can know what's in another person's heart. And I've even talked to some people that have, I don't think that they meant to come across this way, but they kind of portrayed themselves as having the gift of discernment. And I know what's going on in that person's life, and I'm concerned for them, but in actuality, what they're doing is they're judging them without the facts. None of us, let's be clear, none of us in this room know what's really going on in another person's heart. Only the final judge, the real judge, who is God, knows that. And so we have to proceed with caution. God does not ask us to help Him in rule or putting out or acting out on His ultimate authority. He does call us to help and discern and to bring along other people and to care for them and to point out things that they may need help with, the humility that at the same time there may come a time soon where they need to help us as well. But God doesn't call us to have a critical, proud, arrogant condemnation of other people as if we're the final judge. That's sin. That's wrong. And Jesus says that shouldn't be a part of our lives. The religious leaders in the time were these in the New Testament times certainly were involved in this and looking down on people literally because they couldn't follow all the rules. And you remember the religious leaders getting so upset when Jesus would heal and do wonderful things, but it was on the Sabbath. And so all of a sudden Jesus was doing something wrong. And that critical judgment, because their mindset was, we're right and you're wrong, and they didn't humble themselves before God. It's another aspect of this. Make sure that when we're trying to critically analyze other people, that we're analyzing them based on what God says is right and wrong in Scripture and not our own code of ethics. Make sure ultimately that it lines up with what God's Word says so that we're lined up. Think of the other day, we were the Mondays asked Arden over, and they had a good time with him yesterday. And one of the things that Arden got to do for the first time was practice with a pellet gun. And that was exciting for him, and he wanted me to try it when I went to pick him up. And I had, they have, Floyd has this nice pellet gun, and it has the scope and everything, and I'm trying to line it up. We had a plastic bottle. And you guys know that are hunting, you have to line it up and be very careful. And, you know, I hit the blackberry. It was this bottle of flavored water that had berries on the bottle, and I nailed the blackberry, like, right in the middle of it. I'm like, yeah, that's what. Well, I had to sight that up in order to be able to do that. Oh, it's silly. I know for you, the hunting, that's kind of a silly illustration. But for me, I felt proud of that. But I had to carefully sight. And when I hear about some of the rushes and some of you guys that are hunting, you're very precise in making sure that the scope and everything is precise so that you have the ability to hone in on what you're trying to get in the end. And we have to be very precise with our judgment. not just shooting all over the place and not lining it up, but making sure that we're careful and making sure that we're not acting like we are the ultimate authority. Why is that important? Well, first of all, Jesus gives us a very ridiculous ridiculous illustration here that we've heard many times before. But he's pointing this out because he's saying, remember in verse 2, he's saying, be careful, because when you judge that way, God's going to judge you in the same way. He has mentioned before being careful. We've talked about this. The Jewish law, the Latin, it was called, referred to as the lex talionis. What you get, how you act, you'll receive in full in return. And interesting, even though Jesus has said to be careful about that, in this instance, he says, you be careful, because God will mete out to you the lack of grace that you mete out to others, that you use for other people. It will come full circle like a boomerang. Your critical, sinful judgment will eventually come back around, and you won't like the results of that. So Jesus says, be careful. And then this ridiculous illustration, but it points out the fact that we need to examine our own lives first. And why beholdest thou the mote? What is a mote, by the way? Well, it's not a ditch of water around a castle. But this is the idea of a speck of wood, or maybe even some sawdust, that gets a dust that gets into someone's eye. And he says, don't behold that speck that's in your brother's eye, and consider not the beam or the log that is in your own eye. Or wilt thou say to a brother, let me pull out that speck of wood, that dust, out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam, a log, is in your own eye. He's pointing out here that in order to successfully evaluate someone else's life, we have to evaluate our own first. And that's so important. And as a side note here, but it's really important, you notice how Jesus does not say in this illustration, just don't judge them at all, right? He does give the command to judge or to be discerning and evaluate other people's lives, but he says, take care of your own life first. Reevaluate your own life. The first step in showing judgment towards others is self-examination. And it's ridiculous, as the illustration proves here, to do anything else. I've taught this to teens before, you know, in my youth pastor mind, I have this idea of, and really this is kind of what Jesus wanted to portray, but this guy that's running, walking around with literally this log sticking out of his eye, and as he's walking around, he's literally, you know, people have to duck to avoid it, and he's trying to point out something really small in somebody else's life. It's a ridiculous illustration, but you know what Jesus is saying here? It's that ridiculous if you're going to try to help other people and you haven't examined your own life. It's that silly, but it's destructive, because you don't want to hit anybody with that log in your eye. What do? You get rid of it. You deal with the sin that's in your own life. Lord, I think you're calling me to mention something to this person, and I'm concerned about that. But first, Lord, let me examine my own heart. Show me if I have anything wrong that's in my life that I need to get taken care of so I can humbly do this. This isn't something I'm excited about, Lord, that I've been waiting for weeks to just nail this person on. But I think they need help. So, Lord, deal with my own heart first. And make sure that I have the right attitude before I go to them. You know, this really makes sense in a lot of ways. Someone comes up to you just in a normal passage, let's say after church, and says, oh, hey, wait, I see a speck of dust in your eye. Just hold still. Hold still. I think I can get that. How close are you going to let them get to your eye before you say, whoa, no, it's okay. I can handle it myself. I really appreciate your help. But the point is, we get really sensitive about people getting anywhere near our eye. Why should we be surprised that people are sensitive when we get near the sin problems in their life? it's getting to the heart of something that they're that is in their lives that's causing them trouble. But we have to be very careful. We can't just blunder around and throw words out, but we have to be like a surgeon, careful. Make sure that our tools are clean and that we're ready to address that, because it's that sensitive. Deal with our own great shortcomings before dealing with the flaws of others. Another illustration that I've used many times is, say, one of us has to have their eye operated on, laser surgery or whatever. Now, I've not had to do that, but I know at some point the doctor has to come in and he gets ready to perform surgery. And let's just say the doctor walks into the room and is wearing jeans and an old shirt and realizes that, he says, "Oh, I've just got back from fishing and didn't have time to go home and get changed and get cleaned up, but we're okay. I can handle this." His hands are dirty and his hair is messed up, and you could tell that he's not in any way prepared to deal with your eye and surgery. All of us would be very concerned about what that doctor is going to do. And yet so many Christians judge in that way. Some Christians act like they enjoy it, and yet they haven't prepared themselves at all. And they're not ready, and their own lives are dirty, and people look at them and say, "I don't want to take any advice from them. No way. Thanks a lot, but I'll just go over to I'll wait and listen to somebody else, or I'll go to somebody else for help." We have to be ready. Another illustration, I read this in a commentary I thought was good. We got to be careful that we're not a redwood admonishing a shrub to keep a low profile. Right? We have to be careful when we judge other people. And that's why Jesus says, verse 5, "Thou hypocrite." There we have that word of that person that's wearing a mask, trying to be somebody that they're not. Trying to be the ultimate judge in another person's life when they're not. Jesus says, "You're a hypocrite. First cast out the beam of thine own eye. Then you'll see clearly to cast out the mote, the speck out of thy brother's eye." So, on the other side of it, when we do have to address, or we do have someone that we know well, and of course it does help to know someone well before we attempt this, I'd be very careful to try to help someone that I don't know well, unless they come to me for counseling or whatever they're asking for that. But if I'm trying to judge somebody, I really have to have a good understanding of who they are in this, and to be able to help them. But if someone comes to us, or you see someone that you care about that's involved in sin, Jesus isn't letting us off the hook. We can't just say, "Oh, Jesus says to judge not, so I can't touch that." No, Jesus says, clean yourself up and then do it. Address the issue. We have to do it. It's our responsibility. "Well, sooner or later the pastor will find out what's wrong with that person, or he'll hear it, or I'll tell him, and he can deal with it." Well, yeah, as a leader, I'm supposed to help people and deal with different situations, but it's not just my responsibility. It's all of ours. We teach our boys that, and we have different levels of success with this, but not just to come up to us right away and tattle on the brother when they've done something, but you talk to them first. You tell them, what you're doing is wrong. Well, they kind of like that part sometimes, but unfortunately, in a humble way, nicely, okay. And then you ask them, you tell them the right thing to do. If it doesn't work out, then come and talk to us. And so we're trying to teach them that they have a part in this discipleship as well. Well, same with the church. It's not just on the leadership. If God has put someone in your path that you know is struggling with something that's sin and they need help, God may be calling you to deal, to help them deal with that sensitively, carefully. And you know what that does then? It also helps us clean up things in our own life. Because, Lord, that's a big responsibility. That's not something I take lightly. I need your help. Please help me to be able to do this effectively. Realizing, again, that person may come up in a couple months and need to point out something in my life. Am I going to be humble for that too? You see how this works? It works together, and this is how Jesus means for it to be. We're not excused from a humble helping of another person by judging what is wrong in their lives. We're still admonished to help the other person. But in the end, we need clear sight to effectively help others. So how's your sight today? Do you have something in your eye that you need to get removed and ask the Lord to deal with, ask the Lord to remove, so that you can better, effectively help other people? Those that are the greatest counselors and the greatest help are those that are humble and gentle and careful, but are not afraid to help other people deal with what they need to deal with. If you're the type of person, you're like the elephant in the room, in the china shop, whatever, the bull in the china shop, and you're just like, well, I just say it the way that it is. You know, when it comes to dealing with other people, you need to ask God to help you, to be gentle, to be careful, to be a surgeon, but not to disregard. Well, if they just, you know, people are so sensitive, I just don't understand. I try to help them. I'm just not going to help them at all anymore. No, you don't have that option. But do it in the right way, with a humble spirit that God can use. So, judge not, lest ye be judged. So does that leave us off the hook? It certainly does not, right? We have to be careful in our evaluation of others. It's appropriate at times to raise concerns about other people, and it's appropriate to evaluate people's behavior, but also the other side of it is be ready to give them the benefit of the doubt, and don't be the one that's constantly critical of all kinds of people. Don't have the reputation of one that's just critical all the time. That's not helpful. That's not the way that a kingdom citizen should live their lives. As much as the world says, don't judge me today, those that are a part of Satan's crowd, his kingdom, are the ones that are judgmental, that are ungracious, that lack kindness. That shouldn't be the case with God's people. Remember Jesus' sobering warning, the way we judge others is the way that we ourselves will be judged. The way that you examine and critically evaluate other people, that's the way it's going to be for you too. So keep that in mind the next time you have to talk with someone. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that we've heard. Help us to remember how careful we need to be in this. Not to shirk our responsibility, because it is a responsibility of the church to disciple each other and to help each other out. Father, at the same time, we need to be humble, pure vessels. So help us, first of all, to ask for your critical examination in our lives, that we may be pure to be able to evaluate others. Help us to do this gently, but resolutely, knowing it's important. Help us to be careful as well, Lord, and evaluate each situation where we have to share your truth and the gospel. And help us to be discerning in how we do that as well. Lord, I pray that Village Chapel would be a testimony to the community of the gospel of Jesus and of his love and grace, and not of those that are critical and harsh and pharisaical. Help us to have the testimony of God's love in this community. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.